Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and to praise and to worship you. Father, may we just tune our hearts to you this morning. Father, and those who are still traveling, may they have safe travels as they come in. And those who can't join us this morning, put a hedge of protection around them. Open our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we thank you for the offering as well. May it be something that is used to glorify you and to bring you honor in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship our Savior this morning.
This is one of the songs in the bulletin. We've done it only one time here, but it's awesome.
When all I see is the battle, you see my vision.
So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees.
And what a perfect song before we dive into the My Three time. You know, the battle belongs to him, not to us. You know, the whole point of the My Three is to lift up those people in our lives that don't know Jesus. It's a reminder for each of us, each and every day, to take time to pray for the lost in our community and inside of our world. Because we know that everyone doesn't know who Jesus is. Not everyone does. Not everyone is as blessed as we are to have that relationship, that one-on-one time with Jesus. And so I want to encourage you guys, if you're not doing it currently, grab one of the My Three cards. Write down the people in your life that don't know Jesus that you know their lives would be transformed. You can talk until you're blue in the face, but we're not the ones who save them. Jesus is. So the battle belongs to Jesus, and let's take it to him each and every day, remembering he's the one who transforms our lives. He's the one who transforms the lives of the people around us. And let's never take that for granted. The battle's his. So at this moment, what I want you to do is I want you to pray for the three people in your life that don't know Jesus, that they may come to know Jesus. And we know it works. We have seen many people already in the last year since we've started doing this come to know Christ. So let's never give up on that. So let's go to this time. Let's bow our heads. You pray for your three, and I'll pray for everybody in between. Let's go. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and I thank you for the people that are here this morning and their hearts and desires to be your hands and feet. Father, each one of us have people in our lives that don't know you, that are walking around without the hope that is found in the gospel. Father, we lift them up by name at this time, that they may come into relationship with you, that they may learn who you are. And Father, we know that you can transform anything they have going on. May they find that peace that comes only through you. May they seek after you. Father, open our mouths at the right time that we may speak. But Father, may we also hold our tongues when we need to hold our tongues and listen. Father, I thank you for each one. I thank you for the work that you're doing and for each person you're calling home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just continue to worship.
Praise.
song is called Raise a Hallelujah. And I think about this song every time I sing this. It just reminds me of, you know, we all have our struggles. We all have things that we're going through, whether it's health issues, whether it's emotional issues. You know, the devil's trying to steal your mind from you. But there's one thing that you can always do. And that's just to raise a hallelujah. So you have nothing else. I encourage you with this song to raise a hallelujah. And raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a Yeah. Father, we just lift up our hands to you. that you would take our burdens. That you would take whatever we're going through. We lay it all at your feet, Father. And we just say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen and amen. You guys can be seated.
Good morning. Hey, that's not too loud. I like that. Well, I'd like to welcome you, everybody here, everybody watching or listening. Thank you for watching and listening. My name's Johnny Ricketts, so it's kind of nice to be here. As always, anybody who needs prayer, anybody who wants communion, please contact the church. If the pastoral team can't do it, I'll be happy to help and fill in. That's what we're here for. It was kind of a blessing. Today we're going to talk about I'm blessed. But before we go with that, I'm going to start off with prayer, because prayer is key. Blessed Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come to this church, to the family here, Lord. Bless them and bless me, Lord. Let all your words flow from my mouth, Lord. If they're not of you, Lord, shut my mouth. Most of all, Lord, let us hear your word and put it on our hearts. Fill us with wisdom and clarity, Lord. Look after the pastoral teams. Look after the praise and worship teams, Lord, because we know we're all under attack. Look after the first responders, Lord. Keep them safe. Keep our combat teams safe, Lord. And most of all, Lord, look after our nation as a whole and protect our presidency, Lord. In your holy name, amen. Last week, Pastor Tim did a great job, as always. He did what I would say an intro, kind of, which is nice. God does miraculous things. And so I took little notes on what he hit on. The biggest thing that I got out of it last week was the storms. The correction and the perfection storm. We all go through them, yes? Can we agree? Yeah, we do. Yes, I like that. That's awesome when people... Otherwise, I'll have more coffee. I mean, come on. Or actually, Celsius. I'm drinking Celsius. I worked last night. So interaction's key. So please chime in every now and then. Put it in there. It's nice to hear. But storms, what I believe, are important to our walk. Can we agree with that? That, you know, he talked about the correction storm, and he talked about the perfection storm. We all go through them. I'm hitting it again because it's important for us to understand that. All of us go through them. So when somebody says, I understand, do they really understand? They're not in my sandals, right? They don't walk in my sandals, right? They're not walking in my shoes, but they've gone through their storms, right? Yeah, yeah. So the first one for me is I needed a little more clarity of what a correction storm is. 53 years old, I would rather have a correction storm every day of my life than a perfection storm, and this is why. A correction storm is to the point. A correction storm kind of, hey, you're doing this wrong and you need to fix it. God will talk to us that way on occasion, or the Holy Spirit will talk to us on that occasion. And for me, I love it. I really do. Because God gets us back on path. Both storms, and many times, will take and get us to a point of potential blessing. Do you understand that part? Did you hear it? That a lot of times, God will take and put us in a storm and in a path, and we're like, I don't want to be in this. And God's like, well, too bad. You're not listening. So he's got us in a little storm to help get us to a potential blessing down the road. So the correction storm, I look at like this. Are we ready? So everybody knows this. It's in Acts 9, 1 through 19. Write it down because it's not on the screen. I deliberately did that. And it's talking about Saul. I love Saul. He's my favorite writer in the book. He's Paul, but I'll always call him Saul because it reminds me of his transformation. And we all come from some part, but in our life, we were transformed. Yes? Yes. That was kind of quiet, but that's okay. So I'm going to read it like this. So Saul on the road to Damascus, as he was nearing Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell on the ground with a voice and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. That's a correction storm in our life that God talks to us and says, you need to change something. Was he changed for the better? Yes, he was. A huge change, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have his books, right? So that's a huge change. Now, for me, this is the hard one. I hate the perfection storm. You can be in it for years, where your heart's broke constantly, your mind's mashed constantly, and you're just struggling with God constantly. It's like, why am I doing this? What's going on? But you have to get through it. You have to get through it. You have to get through the perfection storm. If you give up, you're missing out. The perfection storm is designed to hone and to clean and to smooth. For years, I chefed. A lot of you know that. And there's nothing worse than picking up your chef knife and going, I need 15 steaks out of this roast, and you can't even get one because your knife is so dull. So what do, right? You take that knife, and you get your grit stone, and you start working on, right? And you pull it back the other way. And then you take and set that stone off. You clean your knife off, and nope, it's not sharp enough. And then you go to the next grate, right? And all of a sudden you hear this. Nice and smooth. That's a hone. The perfection storm is designed to hone us because we are tools for God, yes? Come on. Yes, we are. We're all designed to be a tool for God. And he will put us in that perfection storm at a point in our life where we absolutely hate it. And one day, my bride of 53 years, right? So, no, not really. I say that because, as you all know, I'm a little hard-headed, right? I'm 53 years old. Yes, my wife's like, yes, yes, you are. And I always say that she's my bride for 53 years because God allowed me to be birthed. And he's like, we got to have something perfect for this guy. And I got my wife. Yeah. That's right. That's right. I got to get her to blush every now and then. But let me tell you, the perfection storm is horrible because we fight it. And one day I'm like really angry and horrible, just furious. And my bride goes, you're never happy. That's like a slap in the face, you know? And she was right. She was right. Because during the perfection storm, you come to a point where you're so frustrated. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know if you're going over here. You don't know if you're going over there. You don't know if you're going, you don't know what's happening. And all of a sudden, something hits you in the face, and you go, I'm being a jerk. And it took my wife to say, you're never happy, for me to go, oh, wait a minute, I'm going through that storm still. You know, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, going through the same storm, and it's just like a big wave, you know, churning over and over, step out of the boat, okay, Lord, I'm stepping out, I'm drowning. Well, you took your eyes off me. Perfection storm, I love Moses. Is that not a true perfection storm? There's two parts to it before I read. First, Moses tried to do what he felt correct outside God's appointed time. Remember the story? He goes out when he's older, and as he's out, he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite or a Jewish, right? And he kills the Egyptian, takes him, and he hides him. Am I telling the truth so far, church? Yeah, I am. Hides him, right? The next day, he goes out again, and there's two Israelites fighting and arguing, and one says what? Who made you ruler over me? Are you going to kill me as well, like you did the Egyptian? And Moses flees, right? He flees to Midian, and he flees, and he's there and gets his beautiful bride. 40 years. He was in a perfection storm. God was just honing on him, just getting him to the point of humbleness, humility, just honing on him, just getting him to that point. And then one day he sees the burning bush and God talks to him. The point of these storms are this. Write this down. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If is the word. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their what, people? Heal their land. America, get humble, right? We're in our storm. We need to get humble. Those are the two storms. I wanted a visual of what storms are for us, church. So with that being said, we're going to start into the actual words. You got a little teaser there. So Ephesians, I love Ephesians. For me, it's very important. It brings everything to life for me. Today is about blessings. So you go through your storms, and hopefully there's a blessing there. Hopefully something happens in your life where you can say, thank you, Lord, I went through this blessing. This storm. For some of us, you have to go through it and go through it and go through it, and that's where I'm at. I'm still in that perfection storm, and just waiting and just being happy that I'm going through it is key. Because if you're happy going through your storm, it changes everything. Because you can get up every day and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're blessing me. Thank you, Lord, that you're guiding me. Thank you, Lord, that you're giving my family to us, that you're a great church family, right? All of us together. So the first one is Ephesians 1:3-4. And I wrote that down this way, is blessed before we were born. I love glasses and microphones at the same time. Blessed before we were born. Do you realize that before I was born, I was blessed? Think about that. It says here, praise be to God the Father through of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Adoration is the first most important thing that he brings here. Paul opens the verse up with understanding who blesses him. Church, do we understand who blesses us? Do we understand the fact that Jesus Christ went on the cross, died, was put in the grave, and rose? Do we understand that? Yes, we do. We should. We should be a little more happier about that, but I'm excited about it. But not only that, that the blessing, you know, the word here, us, who is us? Who do you think that is? He says that the word us is for me, it's pretty vague. I mean, is it the Jewish? Is it the Romans? Is it the Greeks? Who is the word us? Can I tell you, church, it's the saints. It's everyone that went before and was given their lives to a point where God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit said, yes, that is it. That in the heavenly realms, we were blessed. Before my parents were born, before their parents, have I said it enough? You want me to go another generation? Before their parents, they said, oh, here comes Ricketts. We got to have a great lady for him, by the way. And guess what? We were blessed fully. Before creation is, I can't even imagine that. We're talking all the way back in Genesis 1:26. All the way back there. When what? When God spoke it and everything came into existence, right? And then he said, let us make man in our image. And he actually, can you imagine God going, shh, fashioning the dirt? What do you think, Jesus, is this okay? Jesus is like, Dad, you got it. Don't worry about it, you got it. You sure, son? Oh, yeah, you got it. And he just goes and he goes, blew life into him. Folks, we were fashioned by an awesome, mighty God that has reigned forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and still continues to reign. That's who our God is, amen? Ephesians 1:5-6 says,
blessed in love. I love that. In love, he predestined us for adoption to the sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us, the one he loves. Love, you know, it's love is a crazy word. I love chocolate. Who loves chocolate? Come on. I want like the really high fat chocolate that you take it and you stick it on your tongue, and before you get your finger off it, it's already melting. That's, oh yeah, that's what I like. I love chocolate. I love deep dish pizza. Yeah? Come on. Oh yeah, exactly. I love Celsius. It's better than coffee. It doesn't upset your stomach. Is that the same love here? Come on. Huh? I like Celsius. Yeah, there you go, Jeff. What is the definition of love? You know, have you ever really seen it? Can I hold it? Come on, can I hold love? What's that? In a baby? Oh, yeah, amen. A little adorable brown-haired, brown-eyed baby. Just kind of pet it. Oh, child, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, cat. I'm going to give you the definition of love, who our Father is. Are you ready? This is the definition of love. This is who my Father is. I know for the fact that my Father loves me. I know for the fact that my Father will do anything for me, yes? I know for the fact that if it wasn't for my Father, I wouldn't be standing here today. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Excellent. Love is patient. Is God not patient? Yes, God is patient. Love is kind. Is not my God kind? Yes, I'm getting one. Thank you, Kat. Ooh, it doesn't envy. Ooh, does my God envy? Yes, he does. You know why? He wants our love, and he's jealous if he doesn't get it from us. And he gets furious if he doesn't get it from us. Why? Because we are his creation. We're his creation. It's not proud. Doesn't dishonor others. Does our God dishonor others? No. He simply says, here's the line, don't cross it. It's up to us if we cross the line or not. That's not dishonoring. That's us dishonoring him. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Ooh, well, all he asks is what? I want your love. That's all our God asks for. I want your love. You're mine. I want your love. I want your worship. Not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I love that one. You know why? Because once I gave my life to Christ, once I got saved, guess what? I got the pouring, the blessing poured upon me. So every time I mess up, God goes, wait a minute. I see Jesus there. And that's okay because he's asking for forgiveness on what he just did. I still see Jesus there. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Our God will never accept anything except truth in front of him, yes? He'll never accept it. It's not acceptable. It always protects. My God protects me. Always trusts. I know I can trust my God. Hey, guess what? Always hopes, always perseveres, and God never fails because love never fails, yes? Amen. Thank you. I like this one. How about sonship? In that same verse, do we want anyone to go to hell? Not one. Not one. I don't want a Muslim to go to hell. I don't. I don't want a Buddhist to go to hell. I don't. How about an atheist? How about gay pride? I don't want them to go to hell. What if we showed God's love? 2 Corinthians, right? What if we showed it to him? That I know when I came into sonship with God, that my Father owns everything, that my brother, my Christ, my protector, my... It was over there. My sacrifice, my lamb took care of it all. That I am a part of that family. There's nothing better than that. That I know for a fact, with everything I have, I'm a part of that family. Romans 3:25 says this, God presented Christ as a sacrifice, of atonement for the shedding of his blood, and we are to receive it by faith. Or better yet, how about this? Romans 5:19, for just as through disobedience one man, the many were made sinners. Also through the obedience of one man, many became righteous. That's all it takes. Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. I love this one. It says, blessed in redemption. I really couldn't figure out. I'm a little hard-headed, like I say. I keep bringing it up. Some of you are at that age, right? That you were younger in the 70s and 80s. I remember it. And where I'm going with this is that my auntie, Annette, dearest woman that I could have ever been blessed with. And do you remember back in Jewel Osco, they had the chips. They were actually in cardboard boxes. You remember that? Yeah, Sophie. Hey, Sophie. You remember that? It didn't have anything in there, and the box kind of was greasy from the chips, right? But if you took and you bought enough groceries, they gave you this sticker. And the sticker went in this book, right? And if you collected, Angie knows where I'm going, if you collected enough of these stickers in the book, you could take these books and you can go and redeem them for dishes and glasses, right? Do you get the idea of redeemed? God has the book. And guess what's in the book? Johnny Ricketts. He has a sticker for me. I've been redeemed. Does that give you a visual enough now of what redemption is? It's a coupon. And God had the coupon, and Christ was that coupon, and Christ took, and he was the price, and guess what? We're free. Free from what? We were given to God, free from sin. That's what redeemed is. And to understand it fully, you have to be excited over it. If you're not, I mean, church, come on. How could you not be any more excited than that? For me, it's just mind-blowing. It's like, bink, oh, light bulb. That's what that was. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and all understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment. Of bringing unity to the things of heaven and the earth. Redemption. I'll go back to Moses again, right? So Moses went to Pharaoh. We're gonna go after Midian. He goes back. Moses goes to Pharaoh, says what? What's he say, church? Louder. Let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. Okay, I'll turn what? What will I do? I'll turn water into blood. Or how about, yes, this. Again, I want let my people go. No. Okay, fine, I'm going to give you frogs all over the country. Hey, let my people go. No, I'm going to give you gnats then. Let my people go. No, 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 no. What's going to happen? How about flies in your entire household? Am I lying? No, I'm not lying. Read it. How about this? Let my people go. No, I'm not going to let your people go. How about the livestock in Egypt? Done. Dead. How about this? Let my people go. No, no, no. I'm not going to let your people go. Okay, fine. How about boils on the livestock and people? Let my people go. No, I'm not going to let your people go. How about, all right? How about hail? Yeah, you got it. How about hail? We're going to take and just throw hail. People died. Livestock died, right? How about locusts? Let my people go. No, I ain't going to let your people go. Well, how about locusts then? It's going to eat everything that the hail didn't devour. Let my people go. Okay, no. How about darkness? For how many days? How many days was Christ in the grave? How? Come on. Three. Three's an awesome number. Let my people go. No, no, no. Well, you better let my people go because the angel of death's coming. That's right. Let my people go. No. Okay, Israel. Grab what? The lamb. Free of what? Blemish. Pure lamb, right? Slaughter it. take and dip it in hyssop's and blood, thank you, honey, and dip it and put it on the doorpost. And let me tell you, can I tell you, I was blessed that day all the way back then because the blood was shed. Yeah? Come on. The blood was shed. They dipped it, and they put it over the doorpost and the lintels. And that night, there was wailing and gnashing and crying because the angel of death took and passed over Israel. Egypt, Pharaoh, let my people go. Get out of here. It took the blood of the lamb for Pharaoh to understand God doesn't mess around. Amen? God does not mess around. Lastly, Ephesians 1, 11 through 13. I put this down, blessed through the seal. The seal is amazing. I love the idea of the seal because it lets me know who I am. I could talk better without it, louder probably. The seal, thank you, Ron, I love you. He's like, yeah, he's a loudmouth. Blessed through the seal is amazing. Because we have to understand what the seal is. If we can truly put that little thought process in our mind. Back in like the 17, 1800s, the guys would walk around with what they call a signet ring, right? And they would take and they'd make a letter, and they'd take the letter and they'd fold it really nice. They'd take the wax and they'd get the wax hot and they'd smear it on there and they'd take their ring off and they put it on there. Also during the Roman times they did that. It's a seal. It's a seal of approval. Guess what, church? I have Christ's seal of approval through the Holy Spirit. It says this, in him. Who? In him. Who's him? I don't know. We haven't got that far yet. We were also chosen. How about in him being Christ? Right? Having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Whose will? In order that we who were the first put our hope in Christ might be to praise him of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message, the truth of the gospel for salvation. When you believed, you were marked with the seal and promised the Holy Spirit. And inheritance is huge. Why? Because I know that when I got saved and when everything transformed, my life started changing, I have everything Jesus has through an inheritance. Mom, Dad, if you're listening, I love you. Yes, I want the farm. Inheritance. You got the idea, right? Inheritance. Everything is passed on. And when I pass, guess what? My kids get whatever I have if they decide they want it. It's an inheritance. It's kingship. It's a blessing. Guess what? We have brothers and sisters, all of us here. Why? Because we're in the same family through Christ. I'm going to close with this. Revelation 21:27. Nothing impure will ever enter, nor will anyone who does not, or excuse me, anyone who does what is sinful or deceitful, but only those names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Church, I know. And I know, and I know my name's there. What about your spouses? Come on. What about your kids? Are their names there? What about grandma? No? Is her name there? Do you have that conversation with them? Pastor Tim does an awesome job. It's not a joke. We need to make sure that our family's names are in that Lamb's Book of Life. That seal, that approval, I have that approval of getting saved, that I know for a fact I'm there. Have that conversation with somebody this week, yeah? Ask them flat out. You know what are they going to do? Say no to you? Okay, great. No, perfect. Tell you what. I'm going to tell you what it is. Here's what it is. As simple as this. A, B, and C. Yes or no? No? Okay, great. I'll ask you again next week. I want you to think about it. Because when I pass, I want to see my family. When I pass, I want to see the ones that I see here at the church. When I pass, I want to see the ones, Mike, I didn't see you. I want to see my brothers at the fire station. You know? If I pass before them, I want to be there at the gate saying, I made it. I'm glad you did too. Come on, let's go. Give me a hug. I know that's kind of a visual for you. I'm going to close with prayer. Praise and worship team, if you would. Grace, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just give you praise and worship you here today, Lord. Fill our hearts and our minds. Bless us, Lord, with wisdom. Give us clarity, Lord. Let us do our job, most of all. Help us to be empowered through you, to be anointed with the Holy Ghost. Put our tongue on fire, Lord. And most of all, Lord, help us to step out and just have those conversations. In your name, Lord, amen. Please stand.
Never fail. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard.
Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that we can just worship you, Father, wherever we're at, not just in this building, but wherever we go, we can bring you praise. Father, we just love you. We thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have a wonderful week, and we will see you guys next week. God bless you guys.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.